You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Why do we care about a special election in Tennessee? Because it's a red district. And will the Democrats win it? And will it be a sign of repudiation to President Trump's policies? That's certainly going to be the spin if that happens. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. It is Tuesday, and we have an abbreviated show tonight. We're only here till 5:30, but that's okay because it's Penn State basketball. So we'll be all rooting for them and hoping that they win lots of games that will be played during the show. Now, as the big story of the hour is brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental. Go see him today for your free implant consultation. Two locations, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Get the beautiful smile you deserve from Dr. Mike Veneria. The president had a cabinet meeting today. We're going to get into that. But this woman in Tennessee who's running is being called the AOC of Tennessee. That's what she's being called, the AOC of Tennessee. Now, she's there's way too much attention being on this race, which is scary. It really is. And it's a red district. You would think this could be something that, you know, we should be able to win this. I know exactly what the message is going to be if she winds up winning. And that's going to be that the president was a rejection on him. But I got to tell you, though, the broader problem for Democrats, if she wins this, is that she's another socialist progressive kook. And another story today that I read is all about how the Democrats are having their battle with the socialist progressive kooks in the party. And it's just becoming open season right now. It's just a battle going on right now, back and forth over the future of the party and the way this is going to go. And I'm telling you, it doesn't get the kind of national media attention that it should, but there is a 100% war going on in the ranks of the Democrat Party. And if this far left candidate wins, her name is Afton Bean or something like that. That's her name. So if she wins, that's going to just be another. This is not a moderate Democrat. This is literally the AOC of Tennessee. I mean, it rhymes. It sounds good. Sounds like a bad cover band name. Like a horrible country music cover band name, the AOC of Tennessee. But nevertheless, if she wins, there's going to be another one in their ranks. So be another notch on the win of the Mamdani wing of the party. And by the way, Mamdani and Bernie joining in with the striking baristas who are protesting outside of Starbucks. But here's Cassie Hunt giving up and moving on after this far left congressional candidate, Afton Bean, whatever her name is, of Tennessee, refuses to admit that funding the police is a good thing. All right. So again, if she wins, yes, the story is going to be this is a rejection of Trump. But I'm telling you, for the Democrats, this is just going to be another example that the party has shifted so far left here. And that's the way it's going. So this is cut 15 from CNN. Take a listen.
Crime is, of course, also was a major issue in the presidential election. And I know there are some old posts. You've been asked about those old posts a number of times. My question for you today is whether more money for cops on the streets in the district you hope to represent would help fight crime. Would you like more money for more cops on the streets in your district?
So those past comments were at a time when I was a private citizen, as an activist and organizer. And now as a Tennessee lawmaker, I represent 40,000 individual opinions and political thought.
Right, so what do you think now? Would more money for cops be good or bad?
I think it depends on what the community wants. And so I've worked with communities, at least my constituents, want to ensure that there is investment in their community for community safety, community protection, mental health services. And that's what I'm hearing from at least my constituents.
All right. Fair enough.
Fair enough. That's it? You just let her off the hook like that, Cassie? How about a follow-up being, but what if the community wants more cops? So then you'll fund that? You'll agree to funding more cops? If the community wants cops, you're saying it's up to them? Yes or no? The answer, of course, is no. She doesn't want to fund more police. Obviously, you know that, because she's a kook. So yes, two things can be true at the same time. The story will be, the national story, if she wins this race, will be rejection of Trump, red district, Tennessee, red state, and she wins. She wins. Okay? But I'm telling you, the Democrats, further example, further proof, party is freaking nuts and loco. Okay? Here's her refusing to admit or say when she disagreed with the Democrat nominee for president of the United States, Kamala Harris. Take a listen.
Are there any policies that the party's presidential nominee, Kamala Harris, held that you disagree with?
Honestly, haven't thought about it. I've got 24 hours to, I don't mean to be flippant, but I have 24 hours to win this race. And all I've been thinking about is talking to every last voter possible at the doors and trying to make my case as to why I am the best candidate. Once again, this race is close because not only have we mobilized lots of Democratic voters, but there are independents and Republicans that are upset with the chaos of Washington and want to see someone who will be part of the solution, not part of the problem.
But there's what? No policy you would identify that, again, the party's presidential nominee held that you do not agree with.
Policy positions are, you know, I'm trying to make life more affordable for Tennesseans. I really haven't thought about it just because I've been so fixated on winning this race and trying to lower costs for Tennessee families. You know, healthcare has been a major issue in this race. I got my start as a community organizer, raising awareness about Medicaid cuts to rural hospitals. And unfortunately, with the passage of the big, ugly bill, Medicaid cuts are imminent. And so, like I said, I'm just trying to win this race. I've been super focused and fixated on talking to every voter possible to get to the polls, as polls will open at 7 a.m. tomorrow.
Yeah, you spend a lot of time talking about how you disagree with Donald Trump. A whole lot of time on that. But you can't find any areas where you disagree with Kamala Harris? Come on. Stop it, silly. Now, the Republican in the race has a 2-point lead, according to the latest Emerson College poll that's came out. Now, she's spent over $1 million so far in this race, $1 million. The Republican Van Epps has a 2-point lead. She has spent, and he's raised about $600,000, give or take. And her campaign has spent and raised over $1 million between October 1st and November 12th alone. Where's all that money coming from? Huh? There's a whole bunch of people in Nashville. Even though she hates Nashville, just a whole bunch of people in Nashville writing checks. Of course not. This is the money that's being poured in from lots of different groups and lots of different donors around the country because they've targeted this race. And much like what we saw in New Jersey, where we thought Jack Cittarelli had a really good chance of winning, the Democrat machine is very active and very much views this race and every race as a way to send a message to Donald Trump. That's what it is. That's what we're seeing. Now, let's hope to God this guy pulls this off. Let's really hope. But if he doesn't, then understand the Democrats now are stuck with another kook in the ranks. She's basically a squad member she's just a blonde squad member, because I think she'd be the only blonde in the squad. The blonde in the squad. That's could be the name. Now, here's some interesting. Trump won by 22 points in 2024. She's had Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez come in and campaign for her. Kamala Harris come in and campaign for her. Al Gore come in and campaign for her. So it's just kind of what we saw in New Jersey, if you remember, with Mikey Sherrill, where you had all these big name Democrats come in. Now, there's no time left for Barack Obama to come in, but I'm sure she's probably wishing right now that she had brought him in. Hopefully this guy pulls it off. I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful. Let's hope that that's the case. But if not, you know what the talking points are going to be. And I'm telling you the other talking point, which will be the ones that are kind of written in sites like Politico and others, but not necessarily make it onto major national shows, is that the Democrats are panicking over this. You've got Mamdani in New York. This nutbag wins in Tennessee. You got a kook socialist mayor who just won in Seattle. Like, I mean, this is your party. So it's you win the battle, but you're losing the war. I'm telling you, you win a battle, but you're losing the war. So just saying, you know. And we'll be optimistic. Now, the president has cabinet meeting today. Went over a number of different issues and how things are going. And one of the things that I think is really important is we're talking about affordability, because that's her whole issue in this race in Tennessee. And you heard her say it, affordability, 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 affordability. So the president talking about taxes and refund season. Now, I had a snarky comment that was made recently to me about, well, you know, all those big tax breaks to all those big donors. Huh? What? I don't even know what big tax breaks for big donors. But nevertheless, next year, they're looking at a good tax refund season for all of us. And that's good. And hopefully that'll be the way things go. So here's the president from the cabinet meeting today. This is cut number three. Take a listen.
Next year is projected to be the largest tax refund season ever. And we're going to be giving back refunds out of the tariffs because we've taken in literally trillions of dollars. And we're going to be given a nice dividend to the people, in addition to reducing debt. We, as you know, I inherited a lot of debt, but it's peanuts compared to the kind of numbers we're talking about. So we're going to be making a dividend to the people. And additionally, we're going to be able to reduce debt. And as time goes by over the next 2, 3, 4 years, those numbers are going to go up. And I believe that at some point in the not too distant future, you won't even have income tax to pay, because the money we're taking in is so great, it's so enormous, that you're not going to have income tax to pay. Whether you get rid of it or just keep it around for fun or have it really low, much lower than it is now.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hey, if that's the case, fantastic. And I don't want to keep it around for fun. If we can get to a place like that, great. That would be amazing. A little bit skeptical, but hey, that would be amazing, especially going into midterms. And the president continued on that point, and the Secretary of the Treasury continued on that point as well, as he talked about 2026 and what we're going to see right around the time of midterm. So this should give you hope and optimism as they talk about the Democrats are just going to clean up around midterms. Cut number four.
Mr. President, it's been a great year on the economy, but the best is yet to come. The tens of trillions of dollars that have come in investment, both the portfolio investment by companies, by countries, it's turning into a CapEx boom for the U.S. Capital expenditures up 15% in history. When CapEx is up, jobs will follow. The one big beautiful bill is an incredible, as you said, thanks to your leadership, along with Speaker Johnson, Senator Leader Thune, we had that done on July 4th, which everyone said was impossible. And the great thing about that bill, sir, for the American people, it's for industry, 100% expensing, build your factory here, you can write it off immediately. But you also insisted on the four benefits for working people: no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security, auto deductibility for American cars, and that is retroactive. So as a result, in 2026, we are going to see very substantial tax refunds in the first quarter. So the best way to address the affordability crisis is to give Americans more money in their pockets, which is what this bill has done. We're going to see real wage increases. You know, I think next year is going to be a fantastic year. Taxes, deregulation, energy certainty. That's why everyone with your leadership is coming to America. Bond market had its best year since 2020. Everyone said could be done. So we're going to have growth. We've had 2 4% quarters before the Schumer shutdown. We're going to go back to that. So not only are we going to have great growth, but it's going to be low inflationary growth. And stock market obviously is following, but next year is going to be the year for Main Street as all this kicks in. And you came in, immigration, I called it the three I's, immigration, interest rates, and inflation, that were killing the American people. Close the border, the promise kept. Interest rates are down, and 10-year bond, again, best year since 2020, and inflation led by energy prices is going to roll next year. I think it's going to be a fantastic year. We can look back, be very proud of this year, but I think 2026 is going to be great for the American people. Thanks to you.
Good. Let's hope. That'd be fantastic. I've long said energy prices lead the way on this stuff, and I know that from Landman. I'm just saying. You can learn a lot from watching Landman. It's a good show. Very good show. Highly recommend it. I can't give my full analysis on season two. I'm only one episode in, and I've decided to wait because I'm getting impatient with the whole having to wait a week thing, and I have no patience. So, but I love season one. I love the first episode of season two, but I am waiting to get a couple more under the belt and then watch them. I like the binge. I'm on the binge watch train nowadays. So that's my new strategy with that. But you can learn a lot about energy prices just from watching Landman. I mean, I've talked about this over the years, even before that show, but nevertheless. Now, as far as the fraud goes and the waste, fraud, and abuse, well, Tim Walz, Timmy, Yeah. So, as you know, a lot of Somalis were ripped off to the tune of $1 billion in Minnesota. Well, the Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, talked about that. As soon as we get back, I'll share that clip with you as well. Plus, the drug boats getting blown up. What should we do about this? I've said, let's Congress have Congress pass an authorization to do something about it. And then you free up the president to not have to worry about potentially getting impeached when the Democrats take back the House. They'll have to find something else to impeach him about, like the ballroom, for example. But there are congressional investigations that are being called for, bipartisan, both sides of the aisle. Republicans and Democrats are concerned about this. So do something by passing a resolution. Problem solved. And Congress gives the authorization and there you go. That's the answer. That's my prescription for dealing with this. And if not, then down the road, I'm going to hate to be say I told you so, but I'm going to be in a position where I'm going to say I told you so when this politically comes up and blows up. No pun intended. All right. Emmons Roofing and Siding. I love American products and they're tariff free. That's right. So when you get the Owens Corning shingle by Emmons Roofing and Siding, you're not only going to get a shingle that is made right in New Jersey, but you're also going to have a local company with a lifetime warranty on that roof. And not just on the product, but also the workmanship. You see, Emmons is platinum certified by Owens Corning, which means that they stand by their work for the lifetime of that roof, which is fantastic. That's a great thing. Not every company gets that designation, and Owens Corning takes that very seriously. They'll even do spot checks on their people to make sure that they're living up to that designation. And their windows and doors, made in America. The siding that they use, made in America. So you got a great local family-owned company that serves our whole region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore, American-made products, and the finest craftsmanship in the area. How do I know? Because I've used them in two different homes over a decade. From everything from replacing my roof to replacing my windows and remodeling kitchens and bathrooms, too, because Emmons even has a division that does that. And they're going to remodel the kids' bathroom starting in January. Had to push it off till after the holidays. So we had a lot of people staying here last week. But I can't wait for them to break ground on that. It is going to improve our home in such a big way. And that's what you get. You get protection and peace of mind, whether it is a roof or it's doors and windows, siding. You get the increased efficiency, the peace of mind that you deserve. And you know that you're working with a great local company using the finest made American products in the area. Bottom line. So reach out to them today, emmonsroofing.com. Tell them I sent you. And you will agree with me when I say that the work is going to be outstanding. It's guaranteed. And a lifetime warranty on that roof for the product and the workmanship as well. That's what you get from emmonsroofing.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
You know what's crazy? You have the New York Times bailing out Pete Hegseth over the Washington Post. I know. We live in crazy, crazy freaking times. This came up today during the cabinet meeting as well. And it's nuts. Remember the whole, the Washington Post basically said that Pete Hegseth said, kill them all, kill them all, which kind of comes from, it's like, you know, like a movie, like kill them all. But it's not true. It didn't happen. So they published the boat strike story a week after Mark Kelly and company released a video about the illegal orders. Right, so the video comes out last week. You remember, obviously, the Democrats, we talked about this over and over again last week and or the week before. And as I was saying, they couldn't cite an example of an illegal order that was given. Okay. They have these boat strikes. Now, the idea is that they're survivors and that the order is given to kill the survivors. All right, which violates all kinds of international treaties, et cetera, et cetera. So the Russian Post writes this big story up about this and says, hey, you know what? Pete Hegseth, kill them all. So you have the New York Times now, which is basically playing cleanup for what the Washington Post was writing about Pete Hegseth and saying that Hegseth's directive did not specifically address what should happen if a first missile turned out not to fully accomplish the mission. And the official said his order was not a response to surveillance footage showing that at least two people on the boat survived the first blast. Okay, because that's the heart of it, was the whole thing about kill them all. And Hegseth brought this up today and called it fake news and said it's ridiculous. Now, if you're going to give an order like that, kill them all, you're going to own it because you're going to say, yeah, we want to kill all these people. So kill them all. I don't care. Let the chips fall where they may. But that's not what's happening here. That's at least that's not what he's saying. One of the officials said the U.S. military intercepted radio communications from one of the survivors to what the officials said were narco traffickers. So the big headline, which said kill them all, suggesting a follow-up strike to eliminate survivors, is inaccurate. All right. And this came up again during the cabinet meeting today because the media is obsessed with this. They smell blood in the water. No pun intended. So why don't we begin with the secretary with cut number six, actually, from the cabinet meeting today, talking about we've just begun with this. Now, this is why I say Congress should give authorization to this, because this is not going to end and not going to stop. So, you know, if you're looking to debate whether or not the U.S. should be doing this, that's over. We're doing this. The government's doing this, period. Now just give the president all the legal authorization so you don't have to worry about anything down the road. And because, like I said, you've got Republicans and Democrats now who are concerned because they see the Washington Post headline and they go, oh, kill them all. Now, there was never a problem when Barack Obama said kill them all about American citizens on foreign land. That never happened. There was never any concern with that. Never. Four, by my count. Four. And literally, it was kill them all because the order was a kill order. Like, let's understand something. In the game of, and this is not whataboutism, in the game of presidential orders, it wasn't like Obama said, drone strike that house. And then if there are happen to be American citizens in there who we believe are terrorists, well, then so be it. They shouldn't have been there. He literally signed a presidential memorandum authorizing their death. OK, authorizing their death, not authorizing like, you know, I mean, like, hey, we're going to go blow up a farm if they happen to be there with some goats and some sheep having some fun. Well, that's on them. No. He signed their death warrants. Now, in my opinion, this is still incredibly controversial. Does the president have the ability to do this? Well, the president's legal team wrote a big memorandum justifying his use of doing it. In fact, after that, they came up with all kinds of kill lists. And it was all under the umbrella of the war on terror. So going back to Congress's authorization they gave to President Bush, which never really ever ended, they're saying, well, we have this authorization so we can do anything we want. We've designated these people to be terrorists, and therefore we can kill them. Nobody cared. No, some people cared. I mean, I would say nobody cared, but I mean, people, no, the media didn't care. The Democrats didn't care. The ACLU may have cared back then. I don't know, but you get my point. Not just saying like blow up a carnival, but execute, kill these people, kill them all. That's literally Barack Obama's order. Kill them all. But apparently it was not Pete Hegseth's order, even though the Washington Post ran that headline. And then we spent a lot of time going on about the ins and outs of whether or not, if there are survivors, can they be killed? And it turns out that this idea that they saw that there were survivors and then said, kill them all, is a lie. Okay? So, here's the Secretary, Pete Hegseth, cut number 6.
And then it's getting after and going after narco-terrorists and designated terrorist organizations in our own hemisphere. As I've said, and I'll say again, we've only just begun striking narco boats and putting narco terrorists at the bottom of the ocean because they've been poisoning the American people. And Joe Biden tried to approach it with kid gloves and allowed them to come across the border. Cartels take over community, 20 million people, hundreds of thousands of Americans poisoned. And President Trump said, no, we're taking the gloves off. We're taking the fight to these designated terror organizations. And it's exactly what we're doing. So we're stopping the drugs. We're striking the boats. We're defeating narco terrorists. And we're standing.
And you may say one thing, that drugs coming in through the sea by sea are down 91%. And I don't know who the 9% is.
I'm not sure either, sir.
But down 91% by sea.
Okay, so that's a little context for you of what they're doing. All right? And the president says he wants these boats taken out. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to continue to happen. This is the Trump doctrine. We've talked about this before with Dr. Victoria Coates. It's very similar to the Monroe Doctrine. This is our hemisphere, and we're going to take care of this. These are terrorists. The administration has designated them terrorists. And they argue then they have the power to designate them as terrorists, and then under existing law, they have the power to take them out. My opinion, it's cleaner just to have Congress pass a completely full new resolution. But in the meantime, this is what they're doing. And it doesn't seem like there are a lot of people within the American people writ large that are objecting to this. However, that could change if you have more instances where you get situations like, did they execute these survivors? No, they didn't, but that's the kind of stuff you got to worry about. Now, remember, if there's an authorization for use of force, well, that changes everything. How do I know? Because I'm looking at the precedent of when Barack Obama was literally signing freaking death warrants. Like a mob boss. Kill them. Kill them all 4 of them. Kill them. Whack them. Not drone strike that area. And if they happen to be there, like, oops. No. I'm signing this guy's death warrant. Not even a trial in absentia. Just, I have the right to order these people dead. I have the right to order their deaths. Think about that. Now, we're not having this conversation right now about authorizing the deaths of these drug boats because we have determined under the law, for the most part, that this is criminal activity, not terrorism, not military activity. The administration is saying it is terrorism. It is narco-terrorism. It is terrorism activity. I'm telling you, deal with the ambiguity of this with a congressional resolution. Because then the president can do anything he wants. Obama was drone striking weddings. I think they killed like 180 people in Pakistan at one wedding. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. You know what I mean? War on terror, what are you going to do? Signing freaking death warrants. They would have a guy and they would say, we got him. All right, go kill him. And they would just kill them all. And nobody cared. The only reason why they're even making a big deal about this now is because of this legal ambiguity, because of this issue or question of whether or not this is criminal activity or this is military activity. And if it's criminal, then you obviously have to follow the Constitution and due process and everything else. If it's military, not so much. The argument the administration's making is that this is international waters, but within our hemisphere. I'm telling you, you are just asking for constitutional problems. Just have Congress pass a freaking resolution and move on with it, because if this is what you're going to do, then at least cover your bases with Congress. The advice I'm giving here is very sound, by the way. Very sound advice. Anyway, here's the president on this point, cut seven.
To me, it was an attack. It wasn't one strike, two strikes, three strikes. Somebody asked me a question about the second strike. I didn't know about the second strike. I didn't know anything about people. I wasn't involved in it. I knew they took out a boat. But I would say this. They had a strike. I hear the gentleman that was in charge of that is extraordinary. He's an extraordinary person. I'll let Pete speak about him. But Pete was satisfied. Pete didn't know about second attack having to do with two people. I guess Pete would have to speak to it. I can say this. I want those boats taken out. And if we have to, we'll attack on land also, just like we attack on sea. And there's very little coming in by sea. I think we've knocked out over 90% of it. There's very little, and I understand.
See, that's what I'm talking about. All right? That's what I'm talking about. They're going to keep doing it. Do it, then cover your bases constitutionally. And you just follow the rule book. Very simple. But this issue of, oh, there were survivors, like clinging to a boat. And the Secretary of War turned around and said, kill them all. Kill them. Kill them all. Not true. So the secretary said that the admiral made the decision to ultimately sink the boat. Again, if you're getting into the area here where you're using the military in what has in the past been considered to be a criminal issue, then give the commander-in-chief the authorization. I know it sounds like I'm saying something that should be like, well, doesn't he already have it? Well, I don't know. That's the question. That's the ambiguity. That's where you're going to get into what the potential congressional hearings down the road. But here's what the secretary said regarding the admiral's decision here. Cut number eight.
Al-Qaeda and ISIS, do you arrest them and treat them, pat them on the head and say, don't do that again? Or do you end the problem directly by taking a lethal kinetic approach? And that's the way President Trump has authorized the War Department to look at these cartels. And I wish everybody could be in the room watching our professionals like Mitch Bradley, Admiral Mitch Bradley, and others at JSOC and SOCOM and other commanders. The deliberative process, the detail, the rigorous, the intel, the legal, the evidence, evidence-based way that we're able to, with sources and methods that we can't reveal here, that make sure that every one of those drug boats is tied to a designated terrorist organization. We know who's on it, what they're doing, what they're carrying. All these white bales are not Christmas gifts from Santa. This is drugs running on four-motor fast boats or submarines that we've also struck. No one's fishing on a submarine. And I have empowered them to make that call. Now, the first couple of strikes, as you would, as any leader would want, you want to own that responsibility. So I said, I'm going to be the one to make the call after getting all the information and make sure it's the right strike. That was September 2nd. There's a lot of intelligence that goes into that, building that case and understanding that. A lot of people providing information. I watched that first strike live. As you can imagine, at the Department of War, we got a lot of things to do. So I didn't stick around for the hour and 2 hours, whatever, where all the sensitive site exploitation digitally occurs. So I moved on to my next meeting. A couple of hours later, I learned that that commander had made the, which he had the complete authority to do, and by the way, Admiral Bradley made the correct decision to ultimately sink the boat and eliminate the threat. He sunk the boat, and eliminated the threat. And it was the right call. We have his back, and the American people are safer because narco terrorists know you can't bring drugs through the water and eventually on land if necessary
to
the American people. We will eliminate that threat, and we're proud to do it.
If you're wondering, too, the line of the movie, I couldn't think if it was Hook. Yeah, no, they made a movie about an adult Peter Pan. Robin Williams, Dustin Hoffman, neither of them, this is their finest hour. But my kids, we're in a Peter Pan thing. Claire was in Peter Pan. She wanted to see it. We watched it. But there's a point where Captain Hook, played by Dustin Hoffman, says, kill them. Kill them all. I mean, they're worse movies, but anyway, I digress. The point is that that was not, kill them all was not given. And Hegseth said that. Like, and you got the fake media with the coming out and saying, kill them all, and it didn't happen. And here is U.S. Department of Defense Press Secretary Kingsley Wilson during a briefing today talking about the Washington Post publishing something that is false and how the New York Times, of all people, of all entities, coming in to set the record straight here on this, cut 10.
Yes, Wade.
So you were speaking earlier about the Washington Post report
concerning the Secretary of War and Admiral Bradley. And my question is, does the Department of War plan on pursuing any sort of legal action against the Washington Post? And what consequences will there be for lying to the American people? Because, of course, the implication there was that Pete Hegseth and Admiral Bradley are war criminals. And that was the implication, and that's what a lot of people on social media were saying after the fact. So could you speak to that?
Yeah, it is frankly disgusting that the Washington Post would publish something that is so insanely false. And we've seen this from the mainstream media before, right? Anonymous sources that are being quoted that probably have no idea what's going on. And the Washington Post actually went so far as to falsely attribute a quote to the Secretary of Defense of War, that he never said. That is preposterous that they would write that and pass that off as true journalism. Thankfully, the New York Times stepped in and corrected the record and let the American people know that what they were publishing was absolutely fake news. So the Washington Post, I think readership should think twice before reading that outlet again. It is disgraceful that they call themselves journalists. And we told them as such, right? We get press queries like we do from all of you. We told them this story was completely fake news on Thanksgiving evening with a 3-hour deadline, and they still published it anyway. It's disgraceful, but thankfully the American people see through it.
You got the New York Times correcting the record of the Washington Post. That's how freaking insane times we live in, by the way. If you were ever just wondering how freaking insane the times we live in, it's that. It's the best example I can give you is that. Now, Jack Sobieck, our buddy who has been on the show many times, as you know, former WPHT employee of the year. He asked a question today at the Defense Department briefing. This is cut number 11.
Follow up. You mentioned working with partners on the Hill. Another senator on the Hill, the Democrat side, is Senator Mark Kelly. Now, we heard some reporting about a possible investigation into him regarding his status as a retired member of the United States Navy, still on pension, and therefore still under the jurisdiction of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And as such, his membership, you mentioned the Seditious Six, would that be grounds for possibly bringing him back to active service for an investigation, for NJP, or even a full court-martial?
So you're correct. The Department of War received serious allegations of misconduct against Senator Mark Kelly, and in accordance with the Uniform Code of Military Justice and other applicable recommendations and regulations, we're doing a thorough review of all of these allegations. And the Secretary of War has tasked the Secretary of the Navy, John Phelan, with doing a thorough review, looking into all of these allegations, and providing him an update on December 10th. So we will have more information to come on that. But I would just add that this despicable video that Mark Kelly participated in with the Seditious Six was a politically motivated influence operation that was an attempt to undermine the chain of command, to sow distrust and division in our armed forces. That is absolutely ridiculous, and it puts our warfighters at risk. And again, he doubled down on the Sunday shows. I don't know if you all saw him on the Sunday shows, but he basically insinuated that service members who do not defy President Trump's orders could face potential prosecution in the future when Democrats are back in power. He even called our troops and likened them to those of the Russian military. This is totally disgraceful from an elected official, and the department takes it very seriously, and that is why we have launched this review.
I was talking last week when I was in New York. I did Fela's show on Monday's radio show, and I did on Tuesday. I popped in when Paul Morrow was hosting. And Paul's a former NYPD captain. And we were having this whole conversation about the time that Anwar al-Awlaki was killed, the American suspected terrorist. Obama signed his death warrant. There was another guy who was killed in these drone strikes who was somebody that the NYPD had wanted. His name was Samir Khan. Now, the thing about Samir Khan is that he was an American citizen. He had been publishing all these how to make a bomb things, and they wanted him, they wanted him, they wanted him. And ultimately, the NYPD calls up the FBI, and the FBI is like, we're on it, we got it, and nothing ever happened. And he wound up leaving the United States and going to Afghanistan, Pakistan, wherever the hell he was, right? He was one of the Americans killed. Now, apparently, he was not intentionally targeted. Anwar al-Awlaki, who was American, also American citizen, was intentionally targeted. The whole thing is that this guy, Samir Khan, was with him. So Paul Moore was telling me the story about this last week, and I was fascinated by it because, you know, al-Awlaki's name you know, Samir Khan, not so much. Now, my theory on this is that they, and his theory too, is they knew exactly where he was going to be. They wanted him killed. They wanted but they didn't have the exact goods on him like they had with al-Awlaki. So they wanted to make it a little bit more, obscure. Like, well, you know, he was caught in the crossfire kind of a thing. But nobody really believes that. They really believe that he was targeted. And that it was 100% they wanted to take him out. But they just kind of wanted to use a little bit of cover on that whole thing. This guy, the other guy. Now, as you know, this all happened under Barack Obama. Families of Anwar al-Awlaki and Abru Abdulrahman al-Awlaki and Samir Khan did sue Obama officials, including the president, Leon Panetta, David Petraeus, and others. The lawsuits were dismissed by federal courts. Judges held that matters involving national security, targeted killing, and military operations were not judicially reviewable. So that is the precedent here that I think the administration would be wise to follow in these matters and take it from being a criminal matter into being a military matter. You also get the added benefit of, you know, there are going to be Democrats that will stand up and give speeches on the floor of the House that are going to be viewed as defending drug dealers and narco drug providers and other people like that. So you get a double win. I mean, if you're going to do it anyway, you might as well, right? You're going to do it anyway. You might as well. Then you just remove the legal ambiguity. And this is something, again, I was talking about with Paul Morrow. So maybe you heard the show. I don't know. Paul was filling in for Jimmy on Tuesday. I filled in for him last Monday. Paul came on with me, and then I went on with Paul. And we talked about both of these subjects in the course of this because his expertise in this I thought was very, very interesting. And this was also at the time that the video had just come out, the video of Mark Kelly and the others had just come out. And the thing about it is that when they were all saying over and over again, you don't have to follow the legal order. You don't have to follow the legal order. We kept saying, what? Give us an example of one. And we play that idiot congressman from Colorado, that Jason Crow, who couldn't name a single thing. The guy brings up freaking Vietnam. And this is when we talked about plungers up rectums. He brings up Abu Ghraib. Not anything. And then what? Within a week? Not even a week? They have this whole story about Pete Hegseth saying kill them all, but these survivors of this boat. And they're saying how this violates treaties and how this violates maritime law and international law. And it violates the United States, our own laws and our own rules and everything like this. But none of this was ever an issue when Obama was signing death warrants and blowing up American citizens. Like, these aren't even Americans. But none of this was ever an issue in the past. In the back. So yeah, and the boat strike happened. Thank you, Matt, for the clarification. Yeah, September 2nd. So the timing of this, you know, they always have a plan. There always is, like I always tell you, they're like seven steps ahead sometimes in what they're doing. It's like the boat strike happened. They put out this video. Everybody's like, why are you putting out this video? What's up with the video? What's up with what are legal orders? And then the story breaks for the Washington Post writes a story and says Pete Hegseth gave this order, kill them all, which turns out to be a fugazi. But you understand the coordination. And this is something we've also talked about on the show for many years, which is this revolving door between people in the media and people within the military-industrial complex. That's why so many of them wind up leaving their jobs in government and either serving on boards of corporations, which also own media conglomerates nowadays, or they become media spokespeople. But this revolving door of I scratch your back, you scratch my back. I give you a story. You write the story I want you to write. And this happens over and over again. Something we have talked about on the show many, many times over the years. See, you do learn a lot from paying attention and listening to the show. Like Matt DeSantis, who always pays attention to everything that is said during the show. And I want to thank you for that, Matt.
You picked a bad time to pay that specific compliment.
You should have seen his face.
Because I wasn't paying attention to a thing you said over the course of the last, 3 minutes.
It's like I have a sixth sense almost. Isn't that something?
Well, I was engaged up until about two, three minutes ago, and then I figured this segment's wrapping up, time for me to pivot to something else. I couldn't tell you one thing that you said. Justin turned to me, gave me like this wide-eyed expression. I was like, oh God, Rich definitely referenced me. And sure
amazing.
Enough.
Amazing. It's like I have a sixth sense almost. Isn't that something? There was no camera put on the studio. Right, Justin, just clarify. I can't see you. I'm not in the studio. I can't even look at you right now.
Yeah, no camera. Just raw instincts. And the look on Matt's face was so bright.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Fantastic.
You caught me at a bad time.
Uh-huh. Look at that. Alina Curran's going to put that in your lawsuit. Huh?
I was engaged up until about 2-3 minutes ago. I thought, you know what? This segment is about to conclude. Time for me to pivot and get ready for what's coming up next. And then, yeah, I should have known better.
That is amazing. That is awesome. That's the best thing that's happened all week, and it's only Tuesday. We can't top it. See, me being trying to be nice to you has worked out in my favor. I've exposed the truth.
Being nice to Matt DeSantis this week has been terrible for me thus far.
And may it continue to be terrible.
On that note, let me tell you about Dr. Mike Venaria. Being nice to Matt DeSantis. Oh, that's fantastic. Justin, you may have to isolate that sound. We may need that. We may need that a lot going forward. Be nice to Matt DeSantis. We is backfiring on Matt DeSantis in every way. It's wonderful. But Dr. Mike Venaria is going to give you a great smile. And for 12 years in a row, Dr. Mike has been the guy that other dentists send their patients to for the really complex stuff, the complex dental procedures. And of course, Mama Zioli discovered him for our family. So what I want you to do is I want you to reach out to Dr. Mike today because you've got benefits expiring at the end of this month. I mean, here we are, December 2nd already. You don't want to leave those bennies on the table, baby. So reach out to Dr. Mike's office, see how they can give you a beautiful smile. You'll be surprised at just how good he is compared to maybe those chain dental offices or the local dentist office. Or maybe you won't be surprised because maybe you've heard so many people who've gone there and have been thrilled with the work he does. But when other dentists send their patients to Dr. Mike, it tells you everything you need to know. They're putting their reputation on the line by sending their patients to him. He's my dentist. He's my friend. And with an office in Cinnaminson and an office in Woodbury, he's easy for you to get to anywhere you are. So reach out to him today by going to venariadental.com or call him at 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020. Dr. Mike Venaria, his team is great. The people in the office are wonderful. Great music playing. All around, a great experience to get that smile that you deserve. Dr. Mike Venaria, venariadental.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.